Oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Huh? Do what? I think I gave a pretty good hint on that one. I mean, when I sent out the message, I hope, anyway. All right, is everybody looking like they're done? Everybody done? All right. Don't grade your papers. Don't write on them anymore. I'll grade them after we're done, but let's go ahead and I'll share with you if I can get through this. That was just trying to go through the slideshow and get to the point where I could actually show what we're doing here. So, okay, so there's right, Ephesians 1:10. If this is wrong, I'll give you points. I typed it out just like you did. Then in the disposition of the fullness of times, he might gather together all things in Christ, which both are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I think it's right. Okay, Cloud wrote one of the things, and this is a quote from the book. One of the things that I am most thankful for is in my Bible education is having been taught the importance of the normal literal method of interpretation. What does that mean, normal literal? Some of us don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. That's right. Okay. What's the opposite of that that he taught us? Allegorical. That's right. That's where you try to spiritualize it and make it, oh, this means this or something like that. Okay. And then the last section. Anybody have any problems with that? Did you? I'm sorry. I don't know. I think it's you who suggested that. No. I think you said something like, I think it was you, but I may be wrong, but somebody said, yeah, next thing you know, he'll put the verse on there and ask for the reference. That was a quote from somebody. I don't know, but I thought, well, these are all verses we've had, so I get, and they're extra credit. So all you can do is get more points, right? So that's the next page. If I can get to that one. Go up. Sorry. Is that what yours looks like too? Okay. Well, it's, you know what chapter it is, that's great, but it has to be right. It's extra credit. I'm sorry. I can go only so far with this. It's extra credit. Yeah, and they're only worth like 5 points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, so it's not, you know, it'll combat whatever. So, did anybody get them all right? Nobody got them all right? Next week, I'm going to ask you to quote all those. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that. That'll be on the midterm. Maybe, no. Oh, yeah, I would too. Okay, well, anyway, that was the that's all the verses that we've memorized over, not all of them, but several of them that we've memorized throughout the course so far. So there you go. That's the end of the test. So go ahead and collect those if you would. Ethan, Henry, grab those. Bring those up here if they got one. Here, I need to pass these out. Put that in play. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I need to take these off there. Oh, yeah. Make sure everybody gets one of those. All right, the guys are passing out a piece of paper. You're probably familiar with this if you've been in the church for, I think I've taught dispensations at least twice, if not three times over the years, the last 14 or so years. But anyway, this chart's a little bit different than one I've given you. The one I had was from Dr. Childs when I was in class. This is Brother Clouds. Now, he didn't make the chart, but this is a pictorial of what he teaches, okay? That helps you. Because if you go out and say, well, you know that chart David Cloud has. Well, he doesn't have, I don't know that he has this chart. I haven't seen it in his book or anything. But it's just a pictorial of showing. And we'll talk about this in a little bit. So everybody got a copy of that that wants one? Okay. So again, we start out, what is dispensationalism? The Bible teaches that there are great periods of time in which God is working out his eternal plan in man's affairs. And so what's his objective? That's what our verse Ephesians 1:10. The objective is to gather together in one all things in Christ. And so that's the purpose behind all these different dispensations and God's working. Now, we've already went through this, so I'm just going to skip through this. I just want to remind you of those couple things. A dispensation, again, we have the word dispensation in the Bible. It's in this verse and a couple others as well. But also, there are other words that are used, such as this one, times. This word in Ephesians 1:10, the fullness of times, speaks of dispensations. Or dispensation. When is the fullness of time? That's when Christ comes back. Okay? That would be that dispensation of right after the tribulation and between tribulation and millennium. Another Bible word for this is ages. There are different ages. We went through this last week, so I'm just going through. This is a Greek word, ion. I-O-N is the way it's pronounced. At least that's what person that I looked it up pronounced it. And it's translated. We talked about some of these words. Didn't talk about all of them. Course. And Ephesians 2, I think I've already mentioned that one. Yeah, we've already passed that. Also, it is this word is translated as world, ion. We're talking about specific world. We're talking about dispensations, trying to understand because the folks, the Calvinists, the Presbyterian folks, they would just talk about grace, and there's two periods of grace they would talk about. And so they would try to dispute dispensations. So Brother Cloud is what he's trying to do for us, to help us, is to help us understand there are a lot of words that lend to dispensation, okay? This great period, or I think Doc Child said the economy, I'm not sure where he got that from, of time. But here, course and world, forever, is also mentioned, and that is talking about the ages. The Bible refers to this is where we left off, this present world or age. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. That word world is ion. So it's talking about this present age, this world, okay? It's in the present tense. And so that's what his point he's making there. And also in 2 Timothy 4:10, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Again, pointing to the fact that this word ages can mean or refer to this time that we're in now. So he's just trying to break it down for us. Does everybody understand what I'm sharing? Fuzzy looking? Any questions? Yes. Okay, I didn't bring my book. I'm sorry. Yes, sir. That's correct. You're right on page. Huh? Okay, no. Yeah, so, yeah, that's right. And so he started with time after dispensation, times, and then ages. And then in ages, he just took the word age, which is ion, and he looked up what other words it was translated as in the King James Bible. Okay, that's a Greek word. And these are the words that it's translated in to. So when you look up these verses, and if you went to your concordance, you would find the Greek word that this is from. So if I looked up course, it would be ion. If I looked up world, it would be ion. If I looked up forever, it'd be ion. Okay? Does everybody understand? It's part of how we study the Bible is when we're looking up words. A word can, like last week when I preached fellowship, all I did was look up the English word fellowship, and that word was only used 12 times in the New Testament in the form of fellowship. Now, it was used as other things like partakers and other words as well, but I didn't look those words, and I didn't use those words. I just used the word fellowship. So my point is that when you go in and study the Bible, you want to find out what it's speaking of. So if I look up the Greek word, which that's what I did, is I went and looked up the Greek word afterwards and looked up all the verses as well and found out where they were used, you'll find out that this word ion is used in different verses as different words. Okay? Is everybody on page with us? Okay? All right. So present word. And the other one, let's see, the word to this present world. Okay. Ages past. Okay, that's the next one. Ephesians 3:5. It says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So you look at the context of the word ion, which is just the ages, but it says that in the ages to come, which in other ages was not made known. So it's talking about the past. Okay? Everybody understand? You're looking at the word ion. It's used in the verse Ephesians 3:5, and it's talking about in times past. Ages past. Okay, what's the first method when you're doing an interpretation of the Bible? What's the first thing you do of a verse? That's right. And so that's what you have to look at the words too. You see a word, you need to look at the context of the word to understand what it's really saying. Because the word ages can mean a lot of things depending on how it's used in context. I mean, it could be talking about a person's age. It could be talking about ages past like this, or ages in the future, or present age, which is what we've kind of looked at. In fact, that's the next one after this. In Colossians 1:26, it says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages. So that word ages, ion, and it's talking about ages past. It's been hid. The mystery has been hid. And then the next one, the same word ion, it can mean ages to come. Ages to come. Ephesians 2:7, which I started reading a minute ago and shouldn't have, it says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So again, as we're looking at this and we're thinking and trying to put our head and wrap our head around the idea of dispensations, there are a lot of words in the Bible that speak of dispensations or these economy of time that God is dealing with man. And let me ask you to throw out a question just to, you don't even have to answer. It's rhetorical in a sense, but, well, no, it's not. But how did the Old Testament people get saved? Same way everybody gets saved. Absolutely. The same way everybody gets saved. They had to believe in God and what they knew at the time. Just like we have Jesus who died on the cross since we've been born. But prior to that, the Old Testament saint didn't see Jesus yet because it was a different dispensation of time. But he knew God or met God and believed in him. What did Abraham? He believed God and it was what? That's right. Don't forget that. That's important. Because that's what they try to do. These other Protestants, if you will, Presbyterians and others, they think Israel and the church are the same, or it's really called replacement theology. They think that the church has taken the place of Israel. Show me that in Revelation. There's tribes that are mentioned, 12 tribes. Which one are you? We're not. So, anyway, just thoughts. Okay. The world age of the resurrection of the dead. In Luke chapter 20, verse 35, it says, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriages. So the world, that's what it's talking about, obtain that world. It's talking about those that are going to be resurrected of the dead. See, it's still talking about a dispensational thing, but it's the age that they're going to be resurrected from the dead. So when does the resurrection of the dead occur? For the church, we know it occurs when? Rapture, that's right. That is the dead in Christ. Sorry, there's two resurrections, by the way. And it also refers to all ages in Ephesians 3:21. It says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So again, we see this word, this one little Greek word, aion, ion, is represented by many different words and gives us a clear distinction of times, if you will, or dispensations as we're talking about. Is everybody, are we clear on that now? Yay, nay? If you got questions, ask them. Because we want you to understand what we're going through here, because this will help you study the Bible immensely. I'm telling you not. You'll, or kidding you not. I mean, you'll find out that we don't live in the same time as Abraham. We don't do the same things Abraham did. If we did, you guys would be up here with your, not pigs, but your your lambs and sheep and goats and pigeons and turtles and all that stuff, and we'd be sacrificing those. I'm glad we don't. Okay. Another word for this is day. Okay? And this term is used, if you look at your book, it says in many different ways in the Bible, and one of those refers to a period during which God performs a certain work. Examples are the day of salvation. That's a specific work. He gives a couple of verses there. The day of the Lord, the last day, the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are all examples of that word day being used in a term of a dispensation or a time. Like it says here, great periods of time which God is working out his eternal plan in man's affairs. The day of the Lord, when is that? It's when I get to write the what? Get to ride the white charger behind the Lord. He's coming to this earth, the day of the Lord. Okay? So it does talk about a specific dispensation. So there's some other things here that I don't think I have on here. Let's see where this goes to. I just wanted to read these just so we would take time. I'm going to go one more slide. I may have to go backwards, but no, okay. Charles, okay. Can someone in their book, page 76, okay, point one, I think it is, maybe. It's Charles Rye, what he said. Could you read that? These are definitions of dispensationalism by different men. I just want you to at least hear these out loud. Do I have a volunteer? Okay, Adam. Excuse me. Can you stand up and face that way? I'm sorry. Now I'm asking you to do extra work.
In this house world, God is dispensing various revelation as the time. These various stages are over.
Okay. So this is Charles Rye. That's what he said. William Scoggie. Someone read his statement. It's on page 76.2. If you have your books. Okay, go ahead, Tina. Yeah. Could you stand, please? I hate to make you, but... Thank you. He's sort of saying, he didn't say give all the detail, but it's like you raise your children. You treat your children different as they continue to grow. They're your children, and you still have certain rules and stuff, but when they're just real small children, you may not sit there and explain a whole lot to them. You may just say no. And when they get to be, you know, a little bit older and can understand, you may talk to them and explain those things to them. And eventually they get older and they become adults and you talk to them different than you did when they were 2 and 3 and 4, right? Dispensation of time in the family, if you will. And that's what he's kind of comparing that to, in a sense. All right, what's the third one? It's on page 77, I think. Harry Ironside. Somebody read that. Okay, Rob. Right. So, and also, as we'll see, Cloud, he also says that not everything in every dispensation is just in that dispensation. They cross lines. Like we call the church age, a lot of people call grace. I didn't fight it. But I always say, oh, that's true, Jay. Because grace is in all the dispensations. And then there are some things that are only in a certain dispensation that are not in another one. So, again. Clarence Mason. Who'd like to read that one? Anybody else? I got everybody who read already is raising their hand. Okay, Greg. You got the next one, Brandy. Okay. What? It says, and will which? Is that what yours says? Well, it's God's mind, and I got you. Go ahead. Don't worry about it. Very good. I think what gets us on that is God's will. And it's not talking about God's will there. It's God's mind and will which. I would do the same thing. I'd say God's mind and will. Anyway, just to clarify that up. So this, again, he's talking about the fact that some, if it's truth in one dispensation, often those are carried into other. There are principles in the book of Proverbs. You can go to the book of Proverbs and read those principles in there. The verses, they're valid. They're good because you look at those and it tells you things that you need to watch out for, things that you can do. And if you will do what it says, God will bless that. Book of Psalms, again, there are a lot of things that carry over if they're truths that are valid from all time. There are things that are just for certain dispensation as well. Okay, Brandy, could you read number 5? All right, thank you. And so this is what, when I taught dispensations, and I'll give you this handout probably next week, it talks about the dispensations, and there's a crucial event, and there's a judgment. Like a crucial event in the Age of Innocence is when they disobeyed God, and the judgment was they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And every one of the dispensations, you'll see that's a fact. That's something happens, there's judgment, and we move to the next dispensation, okay? And that's kind of the way they're centered. And again, God didn't give us dispensations that we're looking at. Man studied the Bible, and in a systematic, like systematic theology, for instance, a way of studying the Bible, he put it in these particular dispensations, but they make perfect sense, too, when you study them because of how they are laid out. And it helps you study the Bible as well. So, anybody have any questions or thoughts on those couple things there? Add to it. Okay, I probably didn't get that. Okay, Paul. Maybe. So, what are the dispensations? Now, you have a chart that I've given to you. I have one up here. This is the one I actually was taught in Bible college. And no, that's not it. And you may have a copy if you keep notes and keep them hanging around the house or whatever. But as I was taught, it wasn't mentioned as far as the millennial reign wasn't put in there as a dispensation. And even looking at this today, I don't think it has to be, but I don't have a problem with it being there. I can, like I said, and Brother Cloud has made those statements as well. I agree with what he said. And what I learned as well is that there can be 5, 6, 7, 8, there could be 9, 10 dispensations, whatever. The thing is, you want to get carried away with it, with hyper and ultra hyper dispensationalism. We may say a couple words. I think it's taken out of your book. My book has several pages. My edition 3 book has several pages in that, where your book, I think, doesn't have hardly anything. But anyway, we'll just mention it a little bit. But so each one of these are different time periods, like the Age of Innocence. Okay, let's just go ahead and look at his notes, and you can kind of follow along on that chart if you want to. It kind of might help us. Let's see here. Let's see what he says first. Okay, the Bible does not specifically tell us how many ages there are. There have been since God made man, or how many there will be in the future. Again, that point is we don't know. That's a man thing that we are coming to help us to study the Bible. And let's see here. He mentions Mr. Schofield. Schofield is a big proponent of dispensationalism. Now, he only has 7. It's on page 5 in your Schofield Bible, I think. If you look at the bottom of it, it'll tell you if you have one. But he lists those out, and he talks about those. And what he says, he mentioned, Schofield said, each of the dispensations may be regarded as a new test of the natural man, and each ends in judgment, marking his utter failure in every dispensation. That is one way that the ages of God can be explained and divided, but there are other ways to look at them, and the number 7 is not necessary. The exact number of dispensation or ages is not what is important. This is what Schofield said. Okay? You could say there are 5 dispensations, 8, 10, depending on how you define age. And again, that's left up to those who are studying the Bible and how they want to study that. The important point is that there have been various periods during which God has worked out his purposes. And during these periods, God has related to men in different ways and has required different things of them. To understand interpret the Bible properly, one must understand this. All right, so then, this is Cloud. He said, personally, I believe it's profitable to divide the ages into 9 categories as follows. So this, as he has studied the Bible, that he has decided that he feels like these are the 9, and this is how he's going to study the Bible. That's what you have in your hand today in that piece of paper, okay? And when you start studying and you look at those dispensations, it really makes a lot of sense, and it helps you to understand God's dealing with man, man's way to deal with God early on, and the way he's going to deal with men, and also the way he's dealing with us today. Let's see here. So he has 9 categories. First one is what we call innocent, or man is innocent. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he gives us Genesis 1 through 3. The old one that I taught, it came more specific. It gave verses like Genesis 1, 26 to Genesis 3, 6 was the age of innocence. Because it goes to the point where she sinned and actually sinned. He just covers the whole chapter. But it doesn't matter. It's just this is a reference point that you can understand as how he has divided this. Again, he reminds us Adam and Eve were created sinless, innocent, and were given only 1 commandment. Wouldn't that be nice? 1 commandment. But you know what? I'd fail. It's just the nature we have. We would fail. And, of course, we know that's why we're sinners today, is because of Adam and Eve's sin. It's not because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Okay? And so they sinned in the age of innocence, and that age ended because of that. And that was the catastrophic failure. And he shares Romans 5:12. Okay, number 2 is man under conscience. In other words, what was in man was an understanding of what was right and wrong. He had a conscience. He knew to do right, he knew what wrong was. Remember, Adam and Eve just left the Garden of Eden, who they walked with God firsthand. They knew God very well. And so this lasted from the fall of, from Adam's fall to the flood. And again, what happened there was what? Why did we have the flood? Because we had a lot of rain. That's true. Anybody? What was the catastrophic failure of man during that time? That's right. There was nobody on the earth except Noah that was found righteous in God's eyes. And so, again, that was the catastrophic failure, and that's why we move into the next dispensation. And that's why he shares with us that. So the third dispensation he has is man under human government. This began from after the flood to the Tower of Babel. Do you know why it's called human government in Genesis 9 through 11? Does anybody remember what was stated in that covenant, Noahic covenant? The important part of that? Kirk, you know? Right. No, that's fine. You know what it says, though. That's what it was, is that the government began then. There was something that was put in the Bible that said, this is going to be established. If man does something, sheds blood, then his blood shall be shed. That's capital punishment. Okay? And that began right after the flood, after they were on Mount Ararat. God gave them those instructions. And then it went to the Tower of Babel. What was the catastrophic failure? That's right. The Tower of Babel. God told them, he told Noah, that he was to go out, right, and be fruitful and multiply. And what happened is people got together and decided they were going to build a tower up to God. And God said, this is not what I said to do. And he, of course, changed their language and he scattered them abroad. And so that's correct. Man under promise. From Abraham to the giving of the law. What was the promise there? Can anybody tell me what the covenant was in this dispensation? And generally, most of these have covenants. What is it? The Abrahamic covenant. Anybody remember what that was? What he established with Abraham? Oh, Henry? That's true. Anybody else got? There's more. Land, Adam said. That's absolutely true. Let me ask you, was that a conditional covenant? Okay, Adam says no. Anybody else got any thoughts? The Abrahamic covenant, was it a conditional covenant? Well, it was to one extent. It was met. The covenant was given to him if he would leave the land. He had to leave the land. Isn't that right? Well, no, I don't think so in Genesis 12. Let's go look at it. Well, anyway, and if it was, that's fine, but I was taught, and as I studied it out, conditioning the fact that he had to leave. If he didn't leave, he would not get that. But, yeah, and then, so as to the giving of the law, what was the catastrophic failure here? Anybody got an idea? What do I? Yeah. Yeah. But what happened before the law? Yeah. Or at that particular time. Remember their murmuring and disobedience? Yeah. No, that's okay. Right. And he gave them the law at that point. And so now they had something written down that they knew what to do and how to be obedient, or supposedly he did. And so they were given the law. We call that the Mosaic Covenant, right? The law. Yeah, mandatory. I'm sorry. That's when I was talking about the law, though. That's the Mosaic Covenant. Because you had the Abrahamic Covenant, and now we got the Mosaic. And it's Moses, number 5, man under law, was from Moses to the coming of Christ. And when it says the coming of Christ, it really is talking about, it's talking about the time Christ was on the earth, but even during that time till the cross, Jesus Christ was under the law. The Mosaic law was not completed. Jesus said that he would fulfill the law. And he did that when he went to the cross and he said, it is finished. He finished the work that God had sent him to do. From that time on, we move into the next dispensation. Okay? So Christ's death was the catastrophic event that took place to move us into the next dispensation. Anybody have any questions? Anybody, can you see how this will help you study the Bible? To see the different times and things? Man under grace is from Christ to the end of church age. Again, that word grace there, a lot of people say that, and that's true. It's the grace of God that he sent Jesus down the cross for our sins. But everybody's been under grace from the very beginning to the end. This is the church age, and we're under grace as well. During this time period, this is when those who put their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross will receive the Holy Spirit. They become a child of God, and then the next step is following God. And that's what we're learning in the New Testament, is what is the purpose of God in our lives. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 is what we're to be doing. And it's, what is that? That we might gather together, right? In one, all things in Christ. That means we're helping others see Jesus Christ and come to that point. That's our responsibility under this period of grace. Then man under God's judgment is the great tribulation. Now he chose to do Revelation 3 through 18. Revelation 3 and 4 Revelation 2 and 3 is talking about the churches. And then Revelation chapter 4 gives us the vision of the throne room, and Revelation 5 extends to that. Revelation chapter 6 is actually when the tribulation period begins. That's when Satan comes riding his white horse with his bow. Okay? And so, I'm not going to argue any points or anything, but this is during the tribulation. Are Christians going to be here during the tribulation? Thank you. I'm following you. That's right. We're not going to be here because of the rapture that occurs. You see that on your paper? You got the little arrow there that goes down and comes up. That is illustrative of Jesus never touching the ground. Why? Because the Bible tells us we're going to meet him in the air. And so will we ever be with the Lord. So the great tribulation. So we have the rapture right before this happens, and then we're the tribulation. Tribulation is how long? 7 years. That's right. And of course, the last 3.5 are going to be worse than the first 3.5. Then he had the next one. He said, "Man under personal reign of Christ," and that is the millennial reign. How long is a millennial? 1,000 years. Christ will be reigning. The Bible says he's going to reign and rule with a rod of iron. That's right. And even during this time, there are going to be problems and difficulties because everybody coming into this age is saved. They put their faith and trust in Christ during the tribulation. But the thing is, they're going to be 1,000 years is a long time. A lot of people are going to be born during that time. And man is still who man is. He has the sin nature. And because of that, he's going to reject Christ, not openly, but will after the fact, because Satan, after this 1,000-year reign, what happens to Satan? Anybody? Yeah. There's a couple people out. I'm not sure who they are. Go ahead, Josh. Yep, that's where the promised land is. That's where they're at, actually. Right. And the thing is, yeah, okay, go ahead. It's right after the millennial. As soon as the millennial's done, 1,000 years, that's when Satan's raised up, okay? And he comes out of the bottomless pit. I think that's... I don't think so. We can look at that, but I'm pretty sure that it's after the millennial reign. But we can check it out. It may be really synonymous. It may, okay, we don't need to argue about it. We can look at it, and we'll come back and give a report. Or you can check it out there. But it's right at that point that Satan, he takes and gathers his army, and he goes up against the army of Christ. Of course, he loses. And from then on, we come to the next period, which I think it's the next period. Okay, right before this period here, man in new heaven and new earth, okay, because we don't have the new heaven and new earth yet. Actually, Jerusalem is not new yet. They're still on the earth. That's the Jerusalem in the millennial reign. The new heaven, new earth happens in Revelation chapter 21, but prior to that, right here, after the Satan is loosed and he runs amok and Christ takes care of him for the final time, then we have the judgment seat of Christ. And judgment seat of Christ, all those that are dead, that are lost, will be raised from their graves. They'll stand before God. They'll be judged based on, number one, their works. Number two, if their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and no, it is not. Because if they stand in that resurrection, the second resurrection, they didn't know Christ as their Savior, and they had no hope of it after they died. And then you have the new heaven and new earth. God's going to wipe out the earth. Well, he wipes it out before the judgment, actually. And then they stand before the Lord. Anybody have any thoughts or comments? Yes. Okay. Well, thank you for looking that up. Okay. Revelation what? Okay, yeah. That's right. Okay. Thanks. You helped me. I don't want to lose confidence. But anyway. Yes. No, people, no, there will be no Christians at the beginning of the tribulation. It's good. Yeah, clear. That people get saved during the tribulation. Thank you for just clarifying that if you didn't think that. But no Christian enters into the tribulation. Can't. You're in the rapture. So those that are in the tribulation, that's how Christ, those people in tribulation are going to be in the millennial reign being ruled by those that were raptured out, Christians. We're going to rule with Christ, okay? The church. But those that go through the millennial that get saved, they're going to, or go through the tribulation and get saved, they're going to be in the millennial period, that 1,000-year reign, right? And that's going to be on this earth, I believe. But we can look at that. Anybody else? Any questions? We're about done here. Thoughts? Yes. Huh? Oh, okay. I think it's the disobedience of the children of Israel. They're murmuring and disputing with Moses through that, and when he gave them the law. Before that one? You're talking about from the flood to the Tower of Babel? That's when Abraham comes in after that. Right. That's why I said the children they were disobedient before they were given the law. Remember, they crossed and went through the Red Sea, and then they were disobedient before they went to the Mount Sinai. Why? You got another idea? Right. Oh, you're talking about after that. I am sorry. Okay. Okay, so you're talking about when after to the promised land was the catastrophic event. You're talking, let me think for a second, where we at. We're in, after the flood to the Tower of Babel, Well, then the promise is given, and then the law is given after the promise. Right. Well, let me see real quick, because yeah, I thought it was the disobedience of the children of Israel, but I can be wrong. I'm telling you, just once though today. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a catastrophic event, was the disobedience, and that's why they had the law. Let's see here real quick. Yeah, it was all under the promise up to that point. The promise would have been fulfilled if they would have been obedient and went to the promised land. Right. 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 And it adds to the point when they were Moses on Mount Sinai. Remember when he came down, what did he do? He threw those tablets down and... was it 2,000 something people died by the sword that day? That was a catastrophic event that took place. Part of that was just the act that the children of Israel were disobedient to God. I'll have to look it up later. Sorry. But I'll get back to you on that to double check. Or if you find out, you can get back with me. All right. Let's see. So, any other questions? Appreciate your participation. I'll tell you, it helps a lot. All right. Well, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer, and then we'll prepare for the Lord's Supper, give you a break to go outside. Rob, why don't you go ahead and stand and go ahead and close our service.